Thank you very much, Jasmine. Hello, everybody, and a very warm welcome to our today's Q2 conference call. As always, on the days when we release our numbers, we have got all the relevant documents for today and for this call available for you on the IR section on our website. The presentations by Heinrich and Guido will be followed, as always, by a Q&A session, and I think it's now the right time to directly hand over to Heinrich to start with the presentation.
Welcome to all of you to our Q2 conference call. In the first half year, I think it became obvious that we have made significant progress in reducing our risk profile. Let me start with Steel Americas. We closed the transaction of the sale of Steel USA, combined with a long-term slab contract for CSA, and consequently received the purchase price of $1.55 billion by end of February. Equally important was the fact that we can report consistent operational progress in our plant in Brazil, and based on those improvements on both financial technical side, we see at CSA under today's circumstances, EBITDA break even already this year, so 1 year earlier than previously guided, which do represent an EBIT improvement of more than 300 million euro. Second big point, we have closed the transaction with Outokumpu, ending all financial links, and therefore have averted the total write-off of our financial receivable, which was always a question mark when we were talking to you. In addition to that, we really have excluded further cash outflow and loss absorptions. Those who followed the Q1 release to Outokumpu recognized how important this was. Following Chapter 11 filing from our Butt company, which is a former manufacturer of auto components that ceased active operations in 2 and 6 and does today not have any current employees or customers, we got rid of 691 million euro of healthcare liabilities on our balance sheet. Definitely, it had a negative impact on our free cash flow. Nevertheless, we consider this to be a very good movement. We have reduced compliance risk as damage claims from Deutsche Bahn have finally settled with the corresponding cash outflow in our fiscal year Q2. You know, we hate that we have a situation where we have to pay damage claims, but if we compare the settlement with the originally mentioned figures, which came in at 500 million plus interest, I think nevertheless, it's a good movement for our company. We have effectively addressed our stakeholders' concerns and have significantly reinforced our financial stability. It was important that we demonstrated undisputed access to capital markets and could show the trust of the capital markets in our strategic way forward. We had a very successful placement of the capital increase in December. We added or we issued a bond on favorable terms in February, and with both on our side, we were able to renegotiate and prolongate the syndicated loan. Clearly, de-risking is one side of the medal. It was important that this maneuver was complemented by consistent operational improvements. Again, we could meet or exceed our financial milestones. Top line continued to grow in Q2 on a year-on-year basis, with orders slightly up despite very negative FX effects, in particular in elevator and also for our industrial solution business, we were lacking big tickets order in Q2. Sales increased by 8% on a reported basis, with double-digit growth at all our capital goods business areas on a comparable basis. Going forward, I think it's very favorable that the backlog at ET and DS remains at around 19 billion, which is forming a strong basis for the targeted sales growth at these high-margin businesses. EBIT adjusted in Q2 increased on a year-on-year basis by 60% to 309 million, with positive and improved contributions across all our BAs, apart from stable contribution at Materials Services and EBITDA adjusted break even at Americas. Net income, definitely benefiting from better performance and disposal gains, is back to positive territory. I think an important milestone achieved with the first half year well on track for our full year guidance. Net debt is down again, and let me just remind you, it's down 2.5 billion compared to the time when it started the strategic Way Forward. It's down by 1 billion on a year-on-year basis and down by 0.5 billion on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Definitely, our M&A was favorable and was more than compensating the legacy cash out for Deutsche Bahn settlement and the BAT situation. It was also compensating the net working capital buildup in Q2. Guido will give some details. Our impact program remains key to our performance improvements in a very competitive environment. We could further add 290 million savings in Q2, which accumulates for the first half year to 490 million. We can prove that we are well on track to achieve our full-year impact target of 850 million. More important, the traction of the program, the progress in de-risking, but also the growth momentum, which we do see in our industrial good businesses, are driving the full-year outlook. We upgrade our sales and EBIT adjusted outlook. We expect sales to grow now by a mid to higher single-digit percentage rate on a comparable base and expect EBIT adjusted to almost double on a year-on-year basis. Apart from Steel Americas, all business areas will make a significant positive contribution to the group's EBIT target. Once again, Steel Americas will, under present circumstances, move to EBITDA at around breakeven. We expect the growth at our highly profitable capital goods business, especially in Elevator Technology and Industrial Solutions, to contribute significantly and with high earnings growth to the group. At our materials-related businesses, we expect broadly stable contributions at Material Services, despite continuing strong competition and the negative contributions from AST. We have now included AST and VDM in our EBIT outlook with a net negative number in the lower two-digit million EUR range. We expect Steel to deliver a higher earnings contribution due to the efficiency gains from Best in Class Reloaded. As mentioned, as a result of operating progress, Steel Americas will significantly improve year-on-year to EBITDA breakeven. On the free cash flow side, we left guidance basically unchanged despite the increased EBIT adjustment outlook, moving all in to a low three-digit million negative for the current fiscal year. However, now including the negative cash out related to the Deutsche Bahn settlement, the negative cash out related to AST and VDM, the negative cash out related to the negative working capital increase at Steel USA until closing, where the compensation is included at the preliminary purchase price adjustment in cash flow from divestments, not in the free cash flow, which we are guiding. Definitely, the higher growth will be reflected in higher net working capital requirements. Doubling the group's EBIT is reflecting our good progress and traction, which we do see on our impact program, and it demonstrates that we are on course to improve our performance culture. The entire team is well aware that this is still not good enough if underlying net profit and free cash flow are just hovering towards or around breakeven. It's clear for the entire leadership team that our way going forward is to focus on an even higher performance. With that, I would really hand over to Guido.
Yeah, welcome from my side as well. Taking a look at the group orders, in an overall still challenging environment with very intense price competition, in particular at our materials businesses, our cap goods activities were key drivers for the underlying growth of group orders and sales in the first half. Overall, orders in the first half increased to 20.9 billion euros, up 4% year-on-year as reported, and up 6% on a comparable basis. It is adjusted for M&A and Forex. Our cap goods activities were growing by a decent 7% on a comparable basis. Highest growth came from Components Technologies, underlying up 15%, reflecting further signs of recovery in European auto and at Chinese wind energy components. Elevator could lift despite significant negative Forex effects, orders to a new H1 record level, underlying up by 9%
taking advantage of continued strong new installation demand in China, as well as of favorable market conditions in the U.S. and South Korea. Orders at IS came close to the high prior year level, virtually unchanged on a comparable basis. Order intake in our materials businesses were influenced by M&A and were underlying up by 4%. Material services includes 1 month of all orders and sales from ASD and VDM, which contributed about 300 million. However, MX was also up by 6% on a comparable basis, reflecting higher volumes and several sales initiatives. Steel Europe was 6% down as reported, reflecting the tailored blanks divestments. The underlying was virtually unchanged. Americas could increase orders despite negative Forex effects by 11%, including Steel USA until the closing end of February. CSA could grow orders by 13%, with ordered volumes up by more than 20%. The order backlog of the group increased by 8% year-to-date to almost 25 billion, and at Elevators and Industrial Solutions adds up to around 19 billion, which is a strong source for the targeted growth. Elevator underlying sales growth, first half 8%, Q2 12%. Industrial Solutions underlying sales growth, 9% in H1, and in Q2 16%. Taking a more detailed look at Q2, overall group orders grew by 2% on a comparable basis to 10.2 billion. However, we were quarter on quarter down by 4% given big ticket effects from the submarine order in Q1 at Industrial Solutions, as well as seasonality and normalization after particularly strong Q1 at Elevator. That were largely compensated by overall higher volumes at our components and materials related businesses. Year-on-year orders include particularly strong growth at Components Technologies, underlying up 19%. Orders at Elevators were down year-on-year by 3% because of negative Forex effects, but are slightly up on a comparable basis, driven by the continuing double-digit growth in China and Asia-Pacific, more than compensating for some one-timers, such as severe winter weather in the U.S., as well as for the difficult situation in some European countries, such as France. Book-to-bill remained well above 1. Orders at Industrial Solutions in Q2 were year-on-year down. However, included a solid base level of reliable, smaller-sized orders, as well as a larger turnkey cement plant order for Algeria, was mid-three-digit range, confirming our strategy to combine technological expertise with a strong local presence close to the customer in growing markets, as well as an EP order for a fertilizer plant in Hungary. Current order trend at plant engineering continues to show ongoing weaker demand in mining, being largely cushioned by oil sand processing equipment, chemicals and cement orders, and growing service business. Fertilizer plant projects are overall taking a breather, but project pipeline for petrochemical plants includes diverse promising opportunities related to further value-added processing steps, as well as to plant infrastructure and utilities upgrades. Production systems for the automotive and aerospace industry saw slightly weaker demand in the first half, but we expect good opportunities in the second. Marine systems, after the big ticket for two submarines for Singapore in Q1, sees generally promising demand with a good project pipeline. We delivered on our targets in Q2. The EBIT adjusted came in at 309 million euros, up by 60% year-on-year and 26% quarter-on-quarter. All business areas generated positive contributions, except Americas now improving to an EBITDA break-even. All business areas improved performance year-on-year, except broadly stable contributions at material systems, now including AST and VDM, with 3 million EBIT adjusted in March, for just 1 month. Similar to orders and sales, but even more important, our cap goods businesses have again strongly supported the group's earnings performance. Components, EBIT adjusted and margin up quarter and quarter and year on year to 75 million and 4.8% margin in Q2, supported by higher sales, restructuring and efficiency measures. Expect broadly stable performance in Q3. Elevator, quarter-on-quarter seasonally down, but year-on-year EBIT adjusted up by 12% to 163 million and margin up by 50 basis points to 11%. As efficiency and restructuring efforts continue to gain traction, we expect further progress in sales, margin, and EBIT in Q3. Industrial Solutions, EBIT adjusted up to a new record level, driven by first billings of the big-ticket fertilizer projects and efficiency gains, and expect sales and EBIT to grow year-on-year in Q3. At our materials-related businesses, material services could seasonally improve and keep earnings prior level in an environment with continuing fierce price competition. This reflects strict cost management as well as effective sales initiatives. Driving shipments ex-stop year-on-year up by 8% to 2.8 million tons in H1, thus close to pre-crisis levels. Expect quarter-on-quarter higher sales with stable earnings and AST and VDM now included for the entire quarter. Are currently reviewing VDM and AST in detail and will, together with the leadership team, finalize the new industrial plan with extensive measures by the summer. At Steel Europe, EBIT adjusted is up year-on-year by more than 50 million despite the Taylor Blanks divestments as Big Reloaded gains traction. Quarter-on-quarter, EBIT adjusted is up by more than 40 million as lower average revenues per ton were more than compensated by seasonally higher shipments, plus 20%, and efficiency gains. Expecting Q3 quarter-on-quarter higher average revenues per ton, shipments, and efficiency gains. At Americas, financials of Steel USA are included until closing end of February. Quarter-on-quarter, EBIT adjusted in fiscal Q2 is broadly stable with EBITDA break-even. Quarter-on-quarter, weaker performance of Steel USA is largely compensated by operational improvements and positive FX effects at CSA. Year-on-year, EBIT adjusted in fiscal Q2 improved despite a positive non-period tax effect of 102 million in the prior year quarter. We expect quarter-on-quarter stable performance in Q3. Hence, overall, we expect the group's earnings improvements to continue in the second half and EBIT adjusted to go slightly up sequentially. Net income benefits from better performance and disposal gains of Steel USA and Bud mainly, and is back to positive territory, bringing H1 well on track for the full-year target to improve the net result towards break-even. Net income for the group came out at 270 million in Q2, benefiting from net positive special items of 18 million included in EBIT and a positive one-off of 224 included in the financial line. Special items in Q2 related in particular to disposal gain of 141 million from the sale of ThyssenKrupp Steel USA at Steel Americas and a gain of 175 million from the deconsolidation of the non-operating US subsidiary, the Bud Company at corporate. The closing effect of the Outokumpu transaction was virtually neutral on bottom line in Q2 as the negative effect on EBIT was offset by a 224 million positive effect in the financial line, which reflects the reversal of the anticipated recognition of the disposal effect that we booked in Q1. Quarter-on-quarter, net debt decreased by 0.5 billion to 4 billion at the end of Q2. As cash in from closing the M&A transactions of, in total, almost 1.5 billion, including repayment of the credit line by Outokumpu, more than compensated for legacy cash out related to the Chapter 11 filing of Bud, where we had a cash out of almost 300 million, and the Deutsche Bahn settlement payment, and the networking capital buildup that was true for the Americas and for preparing for the blast furnace Schwalben 2 for the relining that we have later on in the year. So free cash flow before divest came in at minus 576 before Deutsche Bahn settlement payment, which was completely in line with what we indicated as a mid three-digit million euro negative range in our last call, and was slightly lower in H1 year-on-year due to the preparatory measures for the relining of the blast furnace Schwalgen and the Alabama buildup of inventory that has been compensated and shown in the line a cash flow from divestments where we got refunded for that. Balance sheet, as mentioned, net debt declined to 4 billion, already includes a cash outflow of 279 million resulting from the Chapter 11 liquidation of the non-operating US-based subsidiary, the Bud Company. In this connection, healthcare obligations of 691 million were shed, eliminating virtually all post-retirement obligations of TK Group and thus virtually all future net periodic post-retirement costs, now leading to lower interest costs in the future. No more cash outflows will result from these liabilities in the future. Overall total debt, including pensions and similar, was just going down by around 400 million. This reflects the interest rate reduction we saw mainly in Germany, where for pension we had to reduce from 3.5% to 3.1%, which resulted in a 200 million increase for pensions. Given the decrease in the net deferred tax asset overall on this transaction on BUT, the transaction led to a positive EBIT and equity effect of around 175 million, and therefore, all in all, did not change ceteris paribus our financial ratios a lot. They were just minor changes coming out of it. We reduced the risk factor and could get 691 out of the pension line, which I think is quite an achievement. We have made important progress in de-risking the group, therefore, and improving the performance ambition across the entire organization. We have once again delivered on our operational milestones in Q2, and we expect further sequential earnings improvement in Q3. We have increased our full-year earnings target, and we expect now to almost double our EBIT adjusted. Still, we are away from our targeted and acceptable levels, so we have to further strengthen. The strategic way forward is gaining visible traction, the performance culture is improving, and the minimum requirements and aspiration levels for all business areas are well-defined, and the new leadership teams across all governance and management levels are well-aligned and committed to contribute to improve further. This leaves still enough homework to do and improvements potential at every business area, and therefore, a clear value upside for thyssenkrupp.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Guido. Thank you very much, Heinrich. Operator, Jasmine, please take over for the Q&A session.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. The first question comes from the line of Michael Schillaker from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Yeah. Hi, and thanks very much for taking my questions. I'm afraid I've got a number of questions, if I may. The first question is just on the revival we're seeing in the stainless steel market. Are you watching this closely? Are you feeling that AST Trony is benefiting yet from this better market? Is this making an easier business to run for you? And are you, in terms of selling the asset, cycle agnostic, or will you ride the cycle with a view to getting a better price if that's better off for you? Is question number one. Question number two, a very quick one on elevators. It doesn't seem to be as seasonal as you suggest when I look back at history. So are we sure there's nothing a little bit more sinister in terms of the fairly material drop-off in orders in the business in the second quarter? Question number three, when you look into the calendar second quarter, your Q3, one would imagine that steel and materials should have, I think, a fairly materially better quarter given volumes and also the price cost spread opening up between prices and raw materials. That suggests to me that Q3 could be reasonably better than Q2, which kind of suggests you've built in quite a lot of cushion into Q4 to hit your guidance of what is still under 1.2 of EBIT. Is that right? Is there any reason for your supposed caution on the fourth quarter other than seasonality, which is standard? And question number four, just in terms of steel, I think you've been vocal in the past about M&A potential in the steel industry and that maybe you'd want to participate in this potentially. How are your thought processes on this in terms of, are you looking at sort of Europe, global, and what sort of timeframe do you expect M&A to pick up in the steel market? Thanks very much.
Yeah. Maybe I start, Mike, on stainless steel. Are you sure? Nickel prices went up quite significantly, and it seems that the whole industry overall is recovering there a bit, which was definitely needed, and we're participating with Tony on that one, which is clear. Overall, as we have always said, now we're sitting together with a team and we're working on a plan. We have to do and develop a clear sales strategy and what channels, where do we want to do it, and come up then with an internal plan, what can we achieve and what can we really attribute as a value for the business and what do we want to see. After that, we will judge what we do. Nothing else to be given as an update on the selling and a potential selling process. Let us do our work and then get it done. It's very helpful that the market overall is coming back, so this is helpful. On elevator, the order intake in the second quarter I think it is still a seasonal issue. Yes, you have to take into account that Forex effects are really important on the US dollar. So we have, on a comparable basis, a lot better figures. And in Europe, France is definitely weak. We saw a bit in the US because of the bad weather, but you still see China and Asia Pacific growing double digit, which I think is still strong in that respect. On steel, Q3 compared to Q2, yes, we share your view that Q3 should improve, but we have seen it quite substantially on revenues per ton and margin going down. So Q3 should be better, but we have shown nevertheless all of these pressures in Q2 a good result. So we're working on our big reloaded program. So I don't think that our full year guidance is really cautious on that one. First, let's deliver and see what the steel industry will do overall. But there are some positive signals that could help. And I think on the M&A process, Henry has given you some views.
Yeah, Michael, you know, we are sharing it very clearly. You know, we are refocusing the entire team on executing on the big reloaded issue. The only statement I made to you, we are, let's say, sensitive what happens on the market. And as we are one of the major players in Europe, if we would see, let's say, any attractive constellation, we are not shy to participate. But we also clearly said to you, let's say, any suggestion for a timing, you know, would not have any substance. So we drive our performance up. Whatever will happen, it's in any case the right direction and the right movement to be done.
Okay, all clear. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Alessandro Abate from JP Morgan. Sorry, please ask your question.
Good afternoon, everybody, and congratulations on the results. I have a few questions. The first one on CSA results. If you can actually be a little bit more color on this profitability drive that is driving you probably to increase also the forecast by year-end. Is there any risk that a potential decline in U.S. OHRC prices can actually hit the ramp-up in terms of profitability of CSA? Or do you think that the agreement struck with Mittal of 2 million tons per year still has to give the full effect on the profitability going forward? The second one is just on AST, a very simple one. What is the current utilization rates at the mill? And how you are at the moment in terms of assessing the market, even though we can expect a bit more color into Q3. VDM, I mean, as far as it seems, so I mean, it seems that actually the company is lagging a bit behind in terms of gear to the most profitable market or the peers that is basically aerospace. Is there any potential tie-up with material services, considering that the division is strongly tied up to the aerospace market in the U.S. at the moment? And the last one is related to your rebranding of Industrial Solutions, where you're basically marketing also the subdivisions under the TK umbrella brand name. If you already started to see any tangible positive effect in terms of order intake. And just to follow up, a small one, if there is any risk related to the auto cartel in Germany. Thank you.
Let me start with the CSA. Alessandro, the reason I know why we are a little bit more cautious was the fact that we were not quite sure how fast we can really fill up, let's say, the order pipeline. But what we are now seeing is really that there is a high likelihood that we can achieve or come close to 4 million tons for the full year. And this, let's say, and then you can easily calculate the utilization, but then around about the 80%. This is really that we are, let's say, progressing slightly ahead of our previous expectation. And that is a reason why we have, let's say, accelerate our capability to achieve the EBITDA at break-even. It's clearly, as you said correctly, we have some, let's say, tailwind by the fact that the U.S. prices are, let's say, right now favorable to us. That was also the reason why I clearly stated this is, let's say, the guidance given under present circumstances. Let me come before Guido goes on the VDM portion on the industrial solution. It's too early to see order intake because it was not only the fact that we have merged legal entities of former companies, which you probably know under UDE, Polysius, and material handling side. Even more important is that we have agreed with the team that they do build up regional centers, because we have recognized that the decision-making process out of Europe into, let's say, markets far away like US, like Asia, like Latin America, does not fulfill the requirements to serve the customers, let's say, in a manner we would like it to see. So it will take a while, probably only starting next year, that we can see the positive out of that, let's say, changed organization in our order intake line.
Yeah, Alessandro, on VDM, I'm fully with you. They are lagging to a certain degree a bit behind in some industry on the sales side. So, and that was one of the reasons, including AST, we put it to material services. And they will definitely get some input from the expertise and the connections to the aerospace industry. So we hope we can bring them back to a level where we have seen the performance of VDM in the past.
Guido, thank you very much. The last question was related to the risk related to the Oro cartel, since now you settled the things with the Deutsche Bahn.
Yeah, Alessandro, you know, we have no new development from either side, neither from the cartel authority nor from internal. We did not also get any hint from the cartel authority when they believe they can, report further progress. So it remains as a risk as we described it already a quarter ago.
Just one follow-up, very, very small, on the potential M&A in the steel industry. I mean, you still have an ongoing program in terms of restructuring the big reloaded plan. At the moment, this is clearly an option value, because you have to see how much in terms of improvement of the EBITDA can come from your own restructuring plan. Is it fair to assume that you might actually consider any potential M&A only when you think that the full value of the restructuring will be visible to the investor? Thank you.
You know, one thing is clear, Alessandro, and I hope everybody understands that we will only comment on M&A if we have a feasible thing on the table. It does not make sense in theory. My clear understanding today is that the pain is still not high enough that those scenarios might come along. So I think just as a matter of that, we will need to materialize the full lift up of the big reloaded. You know, the only thing what I clearly share with you, we are not shy to actively, participate if opportunities are given. But on the other hand, I do also not see such a movement, very close from now. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Ingo Skashel from Commerzbank. Please ask your question.
Yeah, good afternoon. I have three questions. The first one would be regarding your net working capital and inventory development in Steel Europe. Could you give us a bit more detail on that? Because on a group level, you've built up, excluding VDM and Terni, around 800 million inventories probably, and it seems like most of that is Steel Europe. But on the other hand, the business cash flow was still positive in Steel Europe. So could you give us a bit more color on the net working capital cycle there, and whether we should really expect a lot of inventory release in the second half of the year after the Schwelgern reline, or whether this will be compensated by some other factor that has influenced the first half cash flow into Europe very positively. The second question is regarding the impact cost savings. You have again over-delivered on the cost savings target, which is probably even a bit more impressive in an environment where volumes and markets grow even stronger than expected. Can you just give us an indication what the one segment was that delivered most significantly above your budget in terms of cost savings? To an external observer, it may seem like material services was particularly good in terms of cost savings, and maybe components technology not so. Just wondering whether you share that observation. The last question, a very short one, or at least it's okay if you just give a short answer. I know that you already guide on a lot of items and line items, so I'm not asking you for a revenue guidance for industrial solutions, but could you give us a very general comment regarding this revenue recognition pattern in fertilizer plants, whether you really just reached important milestones in the second quarter and would expect revenues to fall back a little bit again in the next quarter, so whether when you talk about very high billings in that area, whether you expect them to remain and percentage of completion to remain at that high level in the next quarters as well.
Let me start on net working capital. You're right, Europe had a positive free cash flow. Nevertheless, we have seen some 400 million increase in inventories. We try to work on payables and receivables a bit against that to get the overall factor a bit balanced. We had some 400 million we saw on inventories already increasing for the relining. Further effects to be seen there then through Q3. Cost savings, we over-delivered. Yes, we're stronger on the material side, as you said, materials and steel. Steel, you can see it in the P&L as well. A big Reloaded effects are coming. On Industrial Solutions, the revenues, a percentage of completion is largely stable to be expected in the Q3 and in the upcoming quarters. There is no major milestones that would affect it.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Carsten Riek from UBS. Please ask your question.
Thank you very much. I have a few questions as well. Let me start with Brazil. You mentioned you might get close to 4 million tons for the current fiscal year, which means a very good achievement. My question is, where do you ship those volumes after you actually can only ship 2 million tons per year over to the North American facility? We know there's one big other taker of slabs in North America, but where is the rest of the volume going, just from a destination perspective? Second question, M&A related. You pulled railways and BERCO, but there's still electrical steel on the agenda. How is the progress here? Is it going ahead, and do you get good traction here? That's the second one. The third one, was there any major net working capital release after the disposal of North America to ArcelorMittal Nippon Steel? What kind of amount do we have to take into account here? On your free cash flow guidance for 2014-2015, you're guiding for break even. Does that mean that your CapEx spending for 2014-2015 would go significantly up, or are you a little bit cautious here as well? That is it for the first. Thank you very much.
Carsten, maybe let me start on CSA. 4 million tons. This year, we will sell more than 2 million tons to Alabama. It's rather 2.4 or even a bit more. As we had more in the beginning. It's about 0.7 going to CSI.
Yeah.
In California. The rest we sell mainly in Brazil, but to Europe as well. Some ships going to Duisburg as well. That splits it up of the 4 million currently. Electrical steel, this is a process that is going ahead, so we're moving ahead in this respect. No further comments in an ongoing project. Working capital release on Americas, if I got you right, yes, we sold Alabama with a higher working capital than we had on the balance sheet end of September. That's why by the end of the day, we received a bit more money, which we had as a working capital buildup in the first two quarters, reflected on our books and still an effect of the blast furnace outage we had last year. We had to bring it back up to normal levels and sold it and got it paid back. Free cash flow guidance for 2014-2015, we have never given. Please wait till we have year-end figures and come up with a new.
That is on page. No, that was, sorry, was my mistake. It's for Americas. Sorry.
Right. There you can have one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much, Carsten. Operator, please, the next question.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rochus Brauneiser from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please ask your question.
Yes. Hi, everybody. Just a few points left from my side. The one is on Components Technology. I guess you had a pretty good trend in the year-over-year order performance over the last three quarters, with each quarter sequentially up in growth rates. Could you comment where that was primarily driven for? Was that more kind of an auto story, or how much was coming from wind energy? what was specifically wind energy contributing in terms of 1H order growth. Maybe can you give us also an indication how big that business now is in the first half? And can you also spend a few words where you see more dynamic on the auto side? Is this more from your European automotive plants, or is that more coming from the China business? The other question, more like a technical question on your consolidation of AST and VDM, how much of net debt have you included in the balance sheet with that transaction? And based on a line in your quarterly report, there was a comment that you had to take a receivable on board with that asset swap. Can you also clarify what exactly that this meant? And as a last question, coming back to the free cash flow guidance, if I got that correctly, so the free cash flow guidance is literally stable, unchanged versus the previous one. What's the delta between the free cash flow guidance and a somewhat higher EBIT outlook? Where is the delta where you are seeing an increased cash spend? Is it is that purely on the CapEx figure, or are there higher expectations regarding working capital? I guess that's it for the moment.
Yeah, let me start with the component technology side. The growth momentum which we have described to you is nearly equal in the wind and in the automotive components business. We had in the wind side a very dynamic market, especially in China, but also some good movement in other markets. So there was not a big difference. The guidance we have always given to you is that the wind is representing roughly close to 20%, let's say, volume share. If you look on the market dynamic, definitely the most dynamic market right now is still China and U.S. on the automotive side. Europe, we have a stable demand, and where we are lagging behind really is Brazil, to give you a kind of a guidance here.
AST VDM, what we got back from our December was a receivable, which we still had outstanding on financing working capital, which was 160, the outstanding part, and we got 30 million on the shares that we sold, so we got 190 in, and we took over AST VDM without debt. So it was cash debt-free that we took them back. On the free cash flow, why does the EBIT go up and the free cash flow be negative or stay where it is? Let me give you some insights there. We changed our figures. It's now including the Deutsche Bahn payment. On the other hand, as we said in Alabama, we had an increase in working capital in the first 5 months where they belonged to us, and we got repaid for that, which is a cash flow from divestment. So we have a split here, which is a change to the previous guidance. This was not included. This was an unexpected effect. CapEx with AST and VDM, now the guidance is 100 million higher, including them. And the net working capital, as sales is growing, our net working capital is growing a bit as well. So therefore, yes, EBIT is improving, but you don't see it in the free cash flow line because of these factors.
Okay, that's clear. Many thanks.
The next question comes from the line of Herman Ray from BHF Bank. Please ask your question.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. Three questions, please. First is on elevator technology. In the presentation, it just mentioned the price pressure for the maintenance works. Could you please or shed some light on that development in the market and eventually quantify this price effect on your margin? The second question is regarding the schedule for the relining of Blast Furnace 2 in Schwelgern. When will it start, and what will be the related costs? And third question, starting from third quarter, we should see, lower costs for the corporate line. And with all the restructuring there, when we will see the first, better earnings in the corporate line? We have still not seen that in the first half of the year. Thank you.
Let me just come back to elevators. I think the remark we made is primarily true for South Europe because, as you said, we still face this tremendous situation that markets in Portugal, Spain, and to a certain extent in Italy, but primarily have really gone back by 70%. Similar developments are starting in France. However, although we feel this pressure very hard, it's rather driving us into heavy restructuring than accepting that our margin is going down. Our team in Spain has already executed a third wave, and we have also, started a significant restructuring in France, which we have already booked a certain amount in Q1. So we are defending our margins, but definitely the pressure is driving restructuring measures in those countries.
The relining of blast furnace number two will take some 4 months, and it will end in or will start a late Q3 and then through Q4. We will do the relining and then bring it back online. So we will have maybe even some working capital effects till the next year that we will find back that. Cost is about close to 200 million that overall is included, depending on how you calculate for the loss in your production and efficiencies on that one.
Are these the calendar quarters or the fiscal quarters?
Sorry?
Are these mentioned quarters the calendar quarters or the fiscal quarters?
Our fiscal quarters. So we want to end it in September and bring it back online.
Okay.
So July it's going to start. And they're working on it. The corporate line, over time it will go down, but please take in mind all the corporate projects that we're driving and some of the initial costs that we have, like Unite on the data and process harmonization. We still bear here on corporate, where we started and kick it off. So over time it will go down, but we already do see a shift. Personnel costs, as we have laid off people and reduced here, we do see that, but overall the project spendings will be there.
And a follow-up on ET. Is this limited to the mentioned region, Southern Europe and France, the price pressure and maintenance, or do you see it also in other markets?
You know, as I said, there is, a higher pressure than we normally face because we are never low, so there's always a price pressure in those countries mentioned. But the fact that we have a continuous progress on our EBIT margin clearly demonstrates that we have programs in place to handle it, to even in that competitive environment improve our business margin.
So you do not see a general, it is only a cyclical change of behavior of the competitors?
No, I think if a market is shrinking by 70%,
yeah.
What happened in Spain or Portugal, as you know, companies are sitting there having people employed, there is clearly a pressure on the prices. But we respond on restructuring before we accept margin erosion. This is what we are doing.
Yeah, and we have not changed our guidance and our way that we think that we can achieve the 15% and the way how to get there. So we do see pressure, but it doesn't change our course or the timing.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Sylvain Brunet from Exxon BNP Paribas. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My first question was on Brazil to perhaps help us understand on the power side, given the initial plan back in 2007 was to also be selling power to the grid. Have you been selling power? Have you been buying? Do you plan to do so in the next quarters, next years? And if you could help us quantify if any impact had been recorded already. My second question was on material services. There is a quote in your press release describing the sales resilience, which says that the division benefited in particular from intensive sales initiatives. I just wanted to get a bit more color behind that, what you mean by that. And lastly, on the this Bird transaction, could you just remind us why this transaction, this unwinding is happening now? Because if I remember correctly, this ended activity back in 2006. Thank you.
Maybe let me start on Brazil. The power we already sold in the last quarters and the production is up to levels that we always expected. So we're selling, we're buying back some electricity, but most of it we sell to the grid as expected, so we fulfill our obligations and do collect money. But we do have long-term contracts, so If you take a look onto the price developments, currently electricity pricing is going up. We do have a long-term contract, meaning we have fixed prices on that one, so we do not participate on the upside so much. But compared to a previous year, at least a year ago, we now can sell and fulfill our obligations. So we lost a cost line in that one, but there is not so much upside coming from the Brazilian electricity prices right now. The comments on material services you mentioned, there was no particular interest behind it. So that's just in line going on.
No, what we are describing here is probably that you have seen that, let's say, if you look on the material shipped to our customers, there's a significant improvement. And this is really why the team in material services said, also the market environment is a tough one. We believe with our strong decentralized approach and the very sophisticated logistics service, we can gain market share. And this is really what they demonstrate. And this is what we call generally with very specific sales activities. It's not related to any specific market. It's a broad approach, but it really, let's say, brought the targeted impact to that organization. You know, if we compare it internally, they have a very strong and tuned sales force.
And on the timing of the Bud deal, why now?
Well, I mean, the Bud deal made sense now. You have to prepare quite some time on the restructuring. So you need a restructuring officer and to go all through your obligations. So preparation is about a year that it takes to get there. So we were ready now. And on the other hand, we could afford now to spend the money on it when we got the capital increase and the refinancing done. Now, it fitted pretty well to get the $300 million out. On the other hand, what we saw is that the money that was in the company is there was no business anymore, and the obligation, and there was quite a spread between the two. It was time to settle and to get the healthcare to take the responsibility for your people, because in 5-6 years, the money would have run out and no basis would have been behind. So it was a good timing now, an appropriate timing of resettling the plan so that for the already retired people, they have a clear and safe healthcare scheme that will continue for the rest of their life and will not end nowhere in a couple of years from now.
Okay, maybe if we could just come back to Brazil again to help us there. Is it fair to assume around 245 megawatt hour of excess capacity? Is that the order of magnitude confirmed?
No, it's higher.
Higher.
Higher, yeah.
And what's the length of the long-term contracts you are subject to? Is that coming to an end?
We're not publishing all the details of these contracts. Okay. It's a long-term contract and prices are fixed. On average, it was not a bad deal. The current situation is a bit strange in Brazil.
Thanks so much.
The next question comes from the line of Alexander Auenstein from MainFirst Bank. Please ask your question.
Hello, thank you for taking my question. Only two left here. With regard to Steel Americas, or say Brazil, could you comment again a bit about the slabs that you're selling into the market? I mean, has that been locked in with more clients beside the Mittal offtake agreement and the California Steel agreement? Or is that more happening, what you're selling into, for example, the Brazilian market on a, let's say, shorter term or even spot basis? And the second question, I'm just curious whether you could confirm that there haven't been any value adjustment to the VDM and AST when you consolidated them, or do you believe there might be still a risk when you announce your strategic plans here in terms of potentially adjusting here and there a bit? Maybe you could share some view here. Thank you.
Maybe let me start on Brazil. Yes, sure. We started with short-term and spot in Brazil to sell there in the market and to develop. But as we're producing special grades and higher quality than you can in general buy on the market, we're looking for longer-term contracts and not to be just on spots. So our qualities are a bit better. So we're improving over time here and improving our pricing that we can achieve as well in the Brazilian market. So we're starting. We're not where we want to be, but we're developing nicely and we're improving here and finding new partners over time. On VDM, AST, we took it over when we took them in end of September we already had a look into the business cases that were presented to us, and this was the basis as well to talk about the valuation. And if you recall, we wrote down the loan note by around 300 million to bring it in line with the value that we can get from AST and VDM. So far, we did not have to change it. We're now working on the plan. You saw that the losses were reduced significantly compared to prior year. If you compare it with the performance last year that has been shown under still Outokumpu ownership for the two, so we are improving. And you know, the future is uncertain. That's the only certain thing about it. But so far, we're confident with our values.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Michael Seaton from Citigroup. Please ask your question.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my questions. I just had a couple. Firstly, just back to elevators. I mean, two of your competitors, Kone and Schindler, had differing outlooks at the last quarter on that market. And from a high level, the construction market in China does seem to be hitting a bit of a soft patch. Could you give us some more color on how you see things developing on the ground there and when we can expect margins to move materially on from the 11% level today? And then just on cost savings, you've previously said you'd expect to retain about 50% of the cost savings. Can you give us a sense of timing and when you expect to lose some of that cyclical element? Is that going to be 2015 or is that a little bit earlier than that? Thanks.
Yeah, you know, let me come specifically to China. We still have a very positive growth momentum in the Chinese new installation, which is a double-digit growth. The guidance which we have given and also Andreas for the, let's say, improvement which you can expect from the elevator business was somewhere between 0.5 to maximum 0.7 margin points on a yearly basis. And this is the direction the team is working on.
Yeah, on the impact figures, if you see and take a look at the comparison last year versus this year's first half, you see that around 300 million were better than we were last year in the performance. So 500 we made impact, so around 50% obviously hit the bottom line. More or less, we had some revenue expansion as well, but not that big that it could make up for such an improvement. And this is definitely the target we want to still maintain and continue as we have to catch up. I mean, we have now achieved a good level, first time black numbers again. But on the other hand, if you take a look at what performance targets we should achieve to be really among the best in all our business areas, there's some way to go. And if you want to catch up, you have to move faster than others. So we need to catch and grab 30 to 50% of our impact measures down to the bottom line.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Seth Rosenfeld from Jefferies. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's Seth Rosenfeld at Jefferies. Just two quick questions today. First, on components technology, you've obviously seen a strong uplift in orders and margins in the last period. So I'm wondering if you can just confirm what your outlook is for further margin expansion looking forward and what you would consider to be a realistic medium-term target. And then secondly, clearly seeing a lot of progress on your balance sheet as it continues to delever and as you hit your gearing target. Please comment on what comes next and perhaps on your feelings around potentially returning to shareholder returns with the dividend in the medium term. Thank you.
So what we always said when, let's say, we talked about the component technology business that we need to move it up in the range 6 to 8%. It depends a little bit on the momentum, which we do see on the automotive side. But this, you know, we constantly benchmark, and this is the area where, let's say, comparable businesses are. And there is no reason why we are not going in that direction.
Yeah, on gearing and equity ratios and all that stuff, yes, we want to show now first that we can achieve positive free cash flows and positive net income over time to really increase equity and reduce our net financial debt. And you can see in our outlook, we're fighting for it. We're about to get it, at least break even. This is what we're going for. And once we have achieved that and we have a surplus, we can discuss other things. Bit too early still.
All right. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Christian Obst from Baader Bank. Please ask your question.
Yes, hello. We have additional questions. First of all, you have more than 5 billion cash on the balance sheet, and you have to pay back approximately 1.7 billion this year, do you intend to pay back everything from cash, or what is your plan here? Then on CSA, you talked about possible bigger contracts for delivery of slabs, and currently you're saying you're working on that and you like to see maybe possible additional contracts. Has anyone stepped back from a contract which were closed for negotiation? Please give me some color on that. Then you write about a steel service center in Alabama. Does this steel service center have close ties to the former production center you owned there? Maybe you can talk a little bit about that. And then again on the equity ratio, which has been low 9%, you say concerning additional measures, we have to wait for that, but do you have some kind of a time plan how to achieve, or when do you like to achieve some kind of a normal equity ratio above 20%. Thank you.
Let me come to CSA. You know, I would rather turn it into the positive. Nobody stepped back, but when we announced the deal with the consortium and the slab takeoff agreement of $2 billion, I think there was a rather concern in the market whether we are able to keep a level of above 3.5 million tons, which we need to keep to blast furnace in operations. My statement before was that, let's say, now we are running more towards 4 million tons shipments, which I think for the first year is a very positive development. So nobody stepped back. Rather, the opposite happened. Let's say our capability to find customers is rather, let's say, better than we originally expected. Naturally, now building up, let's say, customer markets in Brazil, they, let's say, start with, let's say, mid-sized volumes, and they will test the grade, they will adjust their mills, and if they have good experience, which we believe they will have, I think then we can rather go into larger and more and longer commitment volumes. But for the first year, I think shortly after these fundamental changes, it's not too bad achieving 4 million tons.
On paying back our debt, clearly we want to use our cash. This is what it's there for, and we can easily do it. But on the other hand, as you clearly said, we have $5 billion cash on hand. But in a situation like that, being a non-investment grade, you need to have quite a cushion on liquidity. And we want to be safely financed too, as conditions are pretty good currently.
Okay.
The equity ratio...
Sorry, just an add-on on this possible payback there. What is at least the amount of cash do we like to have on hand every quarter?
No, that depends. Operationally, you talk about something like $1 billion, what you need to run. And then you definitely have to see how much you have additional liquidity given the situation where you are on your rating. And currently,
yeah,
we do need more. That's why I say I need at least 2 years, because if market circumstances change, then it's definitely us to be the first that will not have the easiest access to money. So that's why we currently do have more and want to be safe through for more than 2 years. Currently, we're financed through for 3 years. And I think this is appropriate for our situation. Operationally, you don't need that for the everyday amount that you have. And that's when we come back to our equity ratio. Same thing is true. Book equity with 3.2, as we currently do have it, it's an 8.7%, which is very low. Everybody knows, and this is for the evaluating it important, our market value is significantly high, above $12 billion, and the hidden reserves are on the stable assets like Elevator and Industrial Solutions. So therefore, everybody knows that there is more substance behind than just our book equity. So if we can definitely prove that we're back into black figures over time, be positive and have a positive free cash flow, then I think we will get the time to reconstitute book equity over time. But you know, if you want to go back to something like 20%, given current circumstances, you would have to be above six. You'd have to be at around $7 billion equity. I mean, to get from 3.2 to 7 at a performance where we're struggling first now to get it positive on net income will take some time. I think it is more important that we can prove that we get it into the positive constantly over time than directly the time when do we want to have the 20%. If the track record will be positive, we will get the time. I'm pretty confident.
It's true what you said. We have a small steel service center sitting in Alabama, but you know that we are running our material service business independent from steel, so they are used to purchase, and they still have the options now to purchase from the consortium. So this is for us a very normal situation. We do not use our service center as a pure 100% sales channel for our own steel. It's a material service and logistic approach we provide for our customers.
But it's not more than, let's say, 70% directly linked to the steel mill in Alabama?
No.
No.
Okay. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Rui Diaz from Espirito Santo Bank. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions. First one, a quick one. In terms of efficiency gains, can you tell us in which categories have you achieved the main gains so far? This will be the first one. Second one, on AST, just to follow up on the previous question from Michael and Stainless, because it's true that we are seeing increasing demand in the European market, but I wonder if we are having a restocking as strong as the one we would expect after such an increase in nickel prices as the one we are seeing at the moment. And so if you could give us your thoughts here will be great. And in Industrial Solutions, the third question, is there any geographical or any geography in particularly where you will be more optimistic, and in which sector will it be, marine or plant technology? Thank you.
Yeah, let me maybe start on the efficiency gains that we have. About 50% out of our impact programs comes out of procurement of Synergize Plus. 20% is operations, 20% is personnel. Personnel is more or less related to operations as well. The rest, the last 10%, is energy and others. So that's where we mainly find it. On AST, maybe the restocking, yes, it's helping, but still people are cautious in restocking. Restocking is starting now, and people want to catch attractive pricing, get enough volumes, but the restocking is not that strong as you could expect if you just take a look on the nickel price development.
Yeah, you know, if we look at Industrial Solutions, definitely our expectations this year were on the marine side were already more or less fulfilled by the large ticket order which we could get in from Singapore. So I think large ones we do only expect probably next year. You know, in our plant business, I think markets are not too bad with the exception of Australia. And I think Australia is really very much driven by the mining sector primarily. And here we see a wicked marketing. On the others, we see chance. This is true for near and Middle East. This is definitely true for North America, very much driven by fertilizers and petrochemical. But this is also true to a certain extent in Latin America, and definitely not in iron ore and coal. But, you know, our advantage is that we are also with the equipment we deliver also in the other niches like copper and others. So, let me say, really, with the exception of Australia, we see a stable opportunities for our plant business.
Okay, thank you. Just to follow up on the last question on Industrial Solutions, I don't know if you can give us this some numbers, but is there any chance we could have a total potential value of your current bidding pipeline on Industrial Solutions, and if you expect any major orders coming or to be awarded still this year? Thank you.
You know, we will not guide you on our order pipeline. Definitely, Guido and myself, we check it very regularly and also with the likelihood, hit rate, and probability. But I think the fact that we have the order backlog of 90 million should really demonstrate that, let's say, on our sales prediction going forward, there is no risk included. You know, but the sales funnel, this is really something which we keep for us. But definitely what we are saying is that the sales funds confirms our guidance.
Okay, and in terms of major orders for this year, do you expect, do you have anything that is about to be awarded or any product that was delayed and you expect to come in the second half, something like that?
The order are not equally distributed quarter by quarter is very normal with these type of business. We had this very big order in Q1. We did not see it in Q2. It's difficult for us. I think the backlog normalized on the sales side, on the order intake, as long as our funnel is promising, and it is promising, we are not concerned if it's if it's moved by 2 or 3 months, as long we are not losing it, and this is not happening.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think with these last questions and answers, we have come to the end of our today's conference call. We would like to thank you all very much for attending the call today. And as always, the entire team is available for you in case you might have any further questions today, tomorrow, or the days after, of course. And also important that we will be on the road. Tomorrow, Guido will be in Paris for a roadshow, and next week on Monday and Tuesday, Heinrich will be traveling in New York and Boston. And we look very much forward to seeing some of you guys there for a further follow-up of our today's call. Yeah, then thank you very much, and we look very much forward to seeing and speaking to you next time. Bye-bye.